Absolutely, Mick. When you look at it, 40 years, I think I was 24 at the time, you'd be saying, well, we won the league that year. We'll surely win something within my lifetime again. Okay, we won the cup, but we get another league, or we certainly get another couple of trophies, but it just goes to show you how difficult they are to win.
Yeah, it certainly does. You remember back to that famous team, and the man marshalling it, both from a dressing room point of view and in midfield, was Owen Hand. I mean, when you look at the star-studded side, Joe O'Mahony, and that side yourself, Fitzy, I mean, it was a phenomenal team, and it's never been replicated.
No, it hasn't, Mike. And I think a lot of it, and, you know, it bears out something for the future. It was basically a local team, with Gary Humes and John Delamere and Owen, who actually resided here. But we were very much local, and we very much, Dougie, Walshy, Brendan, we all came up through the ranks. Desi, Tony Meaney, we were all, you know, all local lads. And it shows you that, you know, if you invest in local talent, eventually it'll bear fruit. I mean, both Dougie, Walsh and myself, we were all 5 and 6 years playing League of Ireland before we got any success. You know, so we weren't beginners by any means at 24, 25, we had 5 and 6 years done. So, yeah, but Owen kind of brought us all together. And he was he brought a professionalism to the club, and that we needed, you know, that those group of players needed. And what a lot of people forget about is Athlone, going to Athlone for the last game, it was a very difficult game. They actually won the league the following year, and they finished third in it that year. So it wasn't a gimme to go up there and get a point. You know, I look back and I said, I didn't realise that until subsequently, a couple of years later, when I looked at it and said, wow, you look at their team on paper, they had a serious team. And they were proven to be a serious team then by winning the league the year after we won it.
Yeah, and you finished probably about 10 points behind them the following year, if I remember right. The gate on the day was 6,000, and that's not spectators. That was in money, which was phenomenal at the time. And I think if a League of Ireland club was getting that even these days, it would be a very good day. But, Pat, take us back to when you got to St. Mel's that afternoon, knowing a point was enough. And I think everybody remembers the pictures from the game, or what's available from the footage. The relief that was shown when you scored that penalty. I think you were on the length of the pitch, and it was a simple hug. And got back to business because you knew you still had to see it out.
Yeah. Well, Fitzpatrick blames me for the goal, that the free kick. For years he's been blaming me. And the footage shows that I turned around to give it back to him, and he was standing alongside me, about a yard outside the box. I said, Kevin, what's going on here? So we eventually, anyway, the two of us, Kevin and myself, we blamed John Delamere for giving the ball away on the halfway line eventually. So, but actually, Mick, we went up the night before, believe it or not. We stayed in we stayed in the Prince of Wales. Mm-hmm. And the Eurovision Song Contest was on that night, on the Saturday night, and we had a sweep, and I think I drew Johnny Logan, who actually won it, I think once another year or whatever, you know. So that was a bit of an omen going into the game, but the atmosphere going to the game was just electric. Unbelievable, the amount of Limerick people. I think it was something like Thomond Park when the All Blacks was there, you know. I think everybody was there from Limerick that day, you know. It was just, it's incredible. I'd say it was probably the biggest gate Athlone ever got in their lifetime.
Yeah, and St. Mel's rarely changed then down through the years. The pictures of that day, until they've gone to Lissy Woolen in recent years, remain the same. But you look at the crowd that day, like, they were literally heaving over every hoarding, and anybody who could get their man, woman or child from Limerick seemed to be there. They literally took over Athlone that afternoon.
Absolutely. And as I said to you, I can remember clearly, the atmosphere was just electric. And you couldn't but lose or get a point with that crowd behind you. It was just unbelievable. Even the scenes at the end, I think the first fellow to me was Junior Williams, who himself won an FAI Junior with Cals, and later went on to play with Limerick. But he was the first one to get to me there, and we were just engulfed by people. It's the hair standing on the back of my head still. when I think about it. You know, it's just an incredible achievement that we've only won the league twice in Limerick's career, and just to be part of, be 50% of that, it's incredible. It shows you how difficult it is to win a league.
And that's for sure. And when you came home, there's great photos. There was no open top double-decker bus. It was a high ace and every player onto the back of it. But some great scenes back in Limerick. And, you know, we saw the great scenes in 2018 when Limerick won the All-Ireland. But it was very similar. Everybody wanted to come out and see this soccer team coming back from Athlone with a league title.
Absolutely. But, I mean, that's indicative of Limerick crowds. You know, I mean, Limerick, you know, whether it be rugby, hurling, football, Gaelic, whatever it is, they'll show up. And it's nearly 80% or 90%. They're all the same people who support everything, you know. They're just, Limerick is a unique sporting city. I brought a couple of lads over from Wigan, Sid Wallace, my good mate, and they were just captivated by the city. They just said, it's the sporting capital of Europe. And I think they're not far wrong there.
Yeah, and that's the truth. You'd think then, what was it, about 10 days later, you went off with a League of Ireland side. I think four Limerick players headed to Buenos Aires to take on Argentina, and you marked one, Diego Maradona. I'm not sure, Pat, whether he mentioned it in his documentary that was on TV last week, yeah. But he'll probably certainly remember you marking him.
I did get a look in at the start of it, because I am the goalie actually scored that night, is featured in it.
Okay.
So it wasn't too bad. Oh, it was a fantastic experience. Brendan, Gary, Walshy and myself. And it was incredible to play in the River Plate and nearly 60 or 70,000 people there. And it was an incredible experience. I think they had six, if I remember rightly, of the World Cup winning team. And we got out of there losing 1-0, which was an incredible achievement, because more or less the same team played the Irish 11 the following week in Dalymount, and they beat the Irish 11 1-0 as well. So fantastic experience. It's memories. Fantastic.
Yeah, it certainly is, and I don't think you'd ever see a League of Ireland team ever taking on Argentina again in our lifetime, Pat. But you'd think then that you played Madrid and all the following season in the Champions Cup, and you know, you had great European experiences, fantastic nights, but this is all about the 40 years and the league title. You went in, of course, with Tommy Lynch to help out at a time in the club which was difficult in the First Division. You never lost your love for Limerick. How sad is it now that we don't have a Limerick FC team or a Limerick representation at National League level, considering we're looking back at one of the greatest years in the history of football in Limerick?
It's a real catastrophe, Mike. Sad to see Limerick in the way it is now. I know that Dougie, Walshy, Brendan, all of those lads who played back in the 80s, 70s and whatever, won a league, they all loved the jersey. You played for the jersey. I mean, we got a few bob out of it, but we never got anything serious like the money that's going now, but we played for the jersey, and it's a terrible indictment on a city that we don't have a senior football club. But please God, I know we're saying that for a long number of years now, it might change, and maybe the year out might do us the world of good and get us back on focused and get us back on the correct track again.
Yeah, it's very hard to kind of put your finger on where we can't get it right, despite so many people wanting it to be right. But Pat, you speak about, you know, the likes of Dougie and, you know, players like Fitzy and so on. And isn't it brilliant that even to this day you continually meet up? I think it's twice a year you have your golf outings. And despite the fact that we've lost some members of that panel who've passed away, they're always fondly remembered by that group. And you've stuck it out as great friends, and you'll never, ever be separated because of that achievement back with the league championship.
There's a terrific bond between the lads that are there. Even though Gary is in Sligo, Gary Humes, we still keep in touch with him. Wardy is in Dublin, we still keep in touch with Wardy. You know, we meet twice a year. We have a few drinks at Christmas, and we have a golf outing, and where we celebrate the lads who have left us, like good old Joe and Tony Meaney. And Willie Flaherty, you know, just to name a few. It's sad when you look at that, you know, that three of those, they were pivotal in us winning the league. And Willie Flaherty did more for us than any man I know. You know, he kept us all happy and kept us all, you know, if you had a little knock or a niggle or whatever else, Willie looked after you. You know, he was a tremendous man. So was Joe and so was Tony Meaney. Like you wouldn't go into battle without Tony Meaney. He was the first fella on your team. and Joe was the ultimate captain. He was cool, coolness personified, super player.
And you think as well of another former player. I know he passed away in the not-so-distant past, is Johnny Matthews, the Wizard on the wing. He wasn't part of that team up in Athlone that day, but you must have some memories of him. He really was a phenomenal player.
Matt was one of just nature's gentlemen. He was always happy-go-lucky. He always had a smile on his face. Nothing bothered him. And what a tremendous player. He was... You know, to play against him was a nightmare. And when he came and played with Limerick, it was fantastic. And as I always slagged him about it, that he came, he possibly thought that, you know, Waterford would never win a cup medal. And he came to Limerick to win a cup medal, and he ended up winning a league medal. And Waterford won the cup that year. So he gets a great, Lord have mercy, and he got a great kick out of that. He was one gentleman, taken much too soon from us.
And that's for sure. Coronavirus hopefully won't put pay to the summer golf classic that you'll have planned in your get-together. It's very weird times that we're living in, Pat, but, you know, with the coronavirus around, I don't think you've ever seen it in the history of your lifetime, how something can even have such an effect on football, which has literally stopped across the world now.
Yeah, it's far more serious than football now. It's about life. And I would just wish everybody to follow the government's warning, stay indoors and stay safe.